Welcome to CDC's media briefing on the fourth phase of the Tips from Former Smokers national ad campaign featuring new health conditions caused by smoking. I'd like to welcome our guests in the room and also those joining by webcast or satellite. Today's briefing will preview some of the new ads and will also describe adult tobacco use released earlier today in CDC's MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. We'll hear from three speakers today, followed by questions and answers. First speaking will be Dr. Tim McAfee, who is an MD, Director of CDC's Smoking and Health Office. Dr. McAfee is responsible for providing leadership and direction for all scientific, policy, and programmatic issues related to tobacco control and prevention. Next, we'll have Dr. Brian King, PhD, a senior scientist in CDC's Office on Smoking and Health, and author of today's report on tobacco use among adults. Joining us also today is Amanda, a former smoker, a mom, and a participant in this year's campaign. We are so pleased that Amanda is able to join us today to represent former smokers who have come forward to tell their stories. Dr. McAfee?
Well, thank you and very much for being here and joining us today. Today, I'm pleased to announce the launch of new hard-hitting ads for CDC's Tips from Former Smokers. These ads encourage people to quit smoking by revealing the devastation that smoking-related illnesses inflict upon smokers and their loved ones. Beginning on July 7th, these ads will run nationwide for 9 weeks and feature a new group of people who are living with serious health consequences associated with smoking, but which are not as well known. For example, gum disease with tooth loss, preterm birth, and complications associated with HIV and smoking. We'll also continue our emphasis on deepening the understanding of the suffering caused by conditions that are traditionally associated with smoking, like lung cancer and head and neck cancer. Each ad participant brings a unique perspective. But overall, the pain of tobacco-related death and disease is all too common in our nation. Most smokers, like our TIPS participants, started as kids. And half of long-term users die prematurely from smoking. Smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke are responsible for almost 500,000 deaths in our nation each year. For every smoking-related death, at least 30 Americans continue living with a serious smoking-related illness. Besides the death and disease it causes, smoking takes a devastating toll on our nation's economy, amounting to more than $289 billion a year in excess health care costs and lost productivity. This suffering, death, and high cost is entirely preventable. In the words of our Surgeon General, enough is enough. The 50th anniversary Surgeon General's report on tobacco and health, released earlier this year, laid out a roadmap for ending tobacco-related death and disease in the United States. The report found that if we don't do more, 5.6 million children who are alive today will die prematurely from smoking. To prevent these deaths, the Surgeon General recommended that we accelerate proven but underutilized strategies to prevent and reduce tobacco use. First among these recommendations was running high-impact national media campaigns like TIPS at a higher level for 12 months a year for a decade or more. The Surgeon General based this recommendation on sound evidence. Campaigns like TIPS work. So far, TIPS has inspired millions of Americans to make a quit attempt, and hundreds of thousands have quit permanently. When TIPS ads are on the air, calls to 1-800-QUIT-NOW immediately surge, and when the ads go offline, calls immediately fall, suggesting that a longer campaign would produce more quit attempts and successful long-term quits. At a cost of less than $200 per life year saved, TIPS is also a highly cost-effective bargain. Most clinical and preventive interventions cost thousands of dollars per year of life saved. TIP serves as an important counter to the more than $8 billion that is spent each year by the tobacco industry to make their products more attractive and more affordable. Tobacco marketing conjures images of glamour, of freedom, and vitality through event sponsorships, magazine ads, movies, the internet, and in-store displays. But tips from former smokers pulls back the curtain and reveals the reality of smoking, addiction, painful disease, and loss of loved ones. While TIPS has done a powerful job encouraging smokers to quit, in 2014, it will be on air for a total of only 18 weeks, and its budget is equivalent to about 3 days of tobacco industry spending on advertising and promotion. Today, CDC is also releasing new data that reminds us that the tobacco industry remains successful, disturbingly successful, at recruiting and maintaining consumers of their highly addictive and exceptionally dangerous products. So I'd now like to invite one of the lead authors of the report, Dr. Brian King, to share the report's findings. Brian.
Thank you, Dr. McAfee. Today, CDC released the article Tobacco Product Use Among Adults, United States, 2012 to 2013, in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. In it, we provide the most recent national estimates of tobacco use among U.S. adults aged 18 years of age and older using data from the National Adult Tobacco Survey. We assess use of a wide range of tobacco products, including cigarettes, cigars, pipes, hookahs, e-cigarettes, and various types of smokeless tobacco products. We also assess the use of these tobacco products overall and by several demographic factors, including sex, age, race, ethnicity, U.S. region, education, household income, and sexual identity. These findings indicate that during 2012 to 2013, 21.3% of U.S. adults, or 50 million people, used a tobacco product every day or some days. And while prevalence of cigarette smoking was 18%, when factoring use of all combustible products, like cigars, pipes, and hookahs, prevalence increased to 19.2%. This is of concern because the 50th anniversary Surgeon General's report concluded that combustible tobacco products are responsible for the overwhelming burden of death and disease from tobacco use in the United States. When we accounted for adults who reported rarely using each product, prevalence increased further among all population groups. About 25.2% of adults, or 60 million people, reported using a tobacco product every day, some days, or rarely, and 22.9% used a combustible product every day, some days, or rarely. Differences in tobacco use were also observed by demographic factors. Tobacco use was higher among younger adults and adults living in the Midwest and South. It's nearly 7 times higher among adults with a GED compared to those with a graduate degree. Nearly 30% of adults with household incomes of $20,000 used tobacco compared to about 13% of those earning $100,000 or more. And nearly 1 in 3 lesbian, gay, or bisexual adults use tobacco compared to about 1 in 5 heterosexual straight adults. The findings in this report underscore the importance of implementing proven interventions focused on the diversity of tobacco product use in the United States. These tried and true interventions include increasing tobacco product prices, implementing and enforcing comprehensive smoke-free laws, and increasing health quitting, all in conjunction with regulation of tobacco products by the Food and Drug Administration, as well as fully funded and sustained state tobacco control programs. These data also call attention to the need for high-impact mass media campaigns, such as tips from former smokers, that warn the public about the dangers of tobacco use. I'll now turn it over to Dr. McAfee to introduce the 2014 TIPS campaign participants and to show their ads. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. King. When the TIPS campaign began in 2012, we knew that our strategy to tell the real stories of real people suffering from debilitating diseases caused by smoking was rooted in sound evidence. And we knew that our ad participants were worthy of attention and respect. But we did not foresee that TIPS would be so powerful that 1.6 million people would make quit attempts, leading to at least 100,000 permanent quits just in the first year, and we did not foresee that the ad participants in the TIPS campaign would enter the nation's consciousness so deeply, becoming true heroes of public health. One of those heroes was Terry Hall. Terry tried her first cigarette at the age of 13 and was addicted by the age of 17. At 40, she was diagnosed with oral and throat cancers and had her larynx, her voice box, removed. For the next 13 years of her life, Terry fought cancer courageously before dying this past September at the age of 53. More than anything, Terry wanted to help motivate smokers to quit and kids not to start by her story, so they would avoid the pain and suffering that she went through. Terry's first ad broke all of the records for views and comments of any video on CDC's YouTube page with over 3.4 million views. Terry asked us to visit her in the hospital to film this last ad. Or no, to be a little more accurate, Terry demanded that we come and film her for this last ad just days before she passed away. I'd now like to show you this last ad from Terry.
My 15 years is Lone Star Smoking, and the music is no quit. And don't give up that one fine. It's fine until you just think. I don't want anybody to have to go through what I'm going through.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
So Terry was an amazing human being, and she performed an incredible public service for our nation. I am sure that probably hundreds of thousands of people made quit attempts because of Terry's stepping up to a very difficult plate, and tens of thousands at least have successfully quit and had their lives extended. Now this year, we introduce a new group of heroes. These people are from all over the country and from all walks of life. But they share in common the experience of starting to smoke while they were young, becoming powerfully addicted, and suffering health consequences they never expected would happen to them. For example, we will meet Felicita from Florida, who tells her story in Spanish. She started smoking at the age of 12 to look cool. By her mid-30s, she had developed gum disease, a danger for all smokers. Felicita lost all her teeth by the age of 50. She's now quit smoking and can keep up with her children on walks, but is self-conscious about her appearance and doesn't smile much anymore. Brett from New Mexico also tells the story of how his smoking led to gum disease. Brett began smoking as a teen to impress a girl. By 42, he had to have most of his teeth removed. After several tries, Brett finally quit. He now knows that he can't smoke even one puff or he could relapse. As many as half of periodontal disease cases may be caused by smoking. We'll also introduce Rose from Texas, who started at age 13. After several years, she developed a two-pack-a-day smoking addiction, and in her 50s, nearly lost a leg because of clogged blood vessels. When she went to have surgery on her leg due to the blood clot, a chest X-ray unfortunately revealed that she had lung cancer. This later spread to her brain despite surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation treatment. Sean of Washington State started smoking at the age of 14 to fit in at a new school. In his mid-40s, a chronic cough and laryngitis turned out to be throat cancer. He endured 38 radiation treatments and finally quit smoking, but the doctors were unable to save his larynx, his voice box. We'll also meet Brian, who is featured in digital and print ads. Brian was in good health, working in California, and managing his HIV, the virus that can cause AIDS. But smoking, combined with HIV, led to clogged blood vessels. At age 43, he had a blood clot in his lungs, a stroke, and surgery on an artery in his neck. Formerly a skilled potter, today he has a hard time making a simple bowl. And today, it is my very special honor to introduce you to Amanda. I will let Amanda tell you the story of her addiction to smoking and her daughter's early birth. Amanda's story is shared by many women. More than 400,000 women in our country each year find themselves pregnant and addicted to smoking. And like many of these women, Amanda did not think that smoking would lead to health complications during her pregnancy. Amanda has now quit smoking, and she shares her story to inspire all women to quit smoking or never to start. I'd now like to show you all of the new Tips television ads, and I'll invite Amanda to come up and join me at the podium while we watch them.
Me llamo Felicita, y antes fumaba.
My name is Brett, and I used to smoke.
Lo dejé.
I quit.
Pero no hasta que tuve una grave enfermedad en las encías.
My tip to you is...
Tu sonrisa dice mucho de ti.
What does this say?
Usted puede dejar de fumar. Visite cdc.gov/consejos.
My name is Brett, and I used to smoke. I quit, but not until I got a serious gum disease. My tip to you is, your smile says a lot about you. What does this say?
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
My name is Rose. Smoking caused my lung cancer. I was on chemo and radiation. They took part of my lung out, and they put this in me to drain the fluid. Every day I prayed that they would remove it. My tip is, be careful what you wish for. That chest tube hurt a lot more coming out than it did going in.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
When you have a hole in your neck, don't face the shower head. Keep your stomach covered when you're outside. Be very careful shaving. Get used to eating only soft foods. Clean out your speech valve twice a day.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
My name is Amanda, and I smoked while I was pregnant. My baby was born 2 months early and weighed only 3 pounds. This is the view I had of her in the NICU. My tip to you is, speak into the opening so your baby can hear you better.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
Thank you. I am sharing my story with people in hopes that it inspires others, especially expecting mothers, to quit smoking or never start. I had my first cigarette when I was in fifth grade, and by the time I was 12, I was smoking every day. In high school, I started skipping class to smoke, and by then I knew I was addicted to nicotine. I smoked when I was young because everyone I knew smoked, and as I became older, smoking became my way of dealing with stress. Through college and other stressful times, I would turn to cigarettes. I tried to quit many times. I remember throwing out multiple packs of cigarettes only to buy another pack later that day. When I found out I was pregnant, I was still smoking. I knew it was bad, but I really didn't think that anything bad would actually happen to me or my baby. But it did. My daughter was born 2 months early, and she weighed only 3 pounds. I did not get to see or hold her right after she was born, and she spent the first couple of weeks of her life in an incubator getting fed through a tube. For most of my life, smoking was my escape from stress, but now it has caused me so much pain and a lot of stress for my entire family. I'm sharing my story to save other moms from the guilt I feel, and so more families can feel the joy of a happy and healthy baby. Thank you again to everyone for your support, especially my family. One of my biggest supporters in this campaign has been my dad, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer within weeks of shooting this ad. My family is a real example of how harmful smoking can be. I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to share my story and theirs to quit smoking or to never start. Thank you.
So thank you so much, Amanda. And I think, as you can all see, it takes an incredible, incredible level of courage and dedication to the people of our country for the ad participants like Amanda to step forward and tell what is a very difficult and painful story. And the reason that they do this is because they care about our young people, they care about the people in our country who have continued to smoke, and they want to do something about it. With 50 million adult tobacco users in the U.S., we are far from achieving our goal of ending tobacco-related death and disease. But we have much reason for hope. With campaigns like CDC's TIPS, FDA's youth-oriented Real Cost campaign, and Legacy's Truth campaign, which will begin airing again later this year, there is an unprecedented counter-tobacco presence in the media this year. Yet these three campaigns still represent less than 5% of what the tobacco industry is spending on promotional activities this year. The Affordable Care Act makes evidence-based cessation treatment more easy to get than ever. Talk with your doctor, your dentist, your nurse, or pharmacist for support. And free help is available at cdc.gov/tips or 1-800-QUIT-NOW. More than half the people who have ever smoked have quit successfully now. Our TIPS ads conclude with a simple but powerful message, and so will I. You can quit. Thank you for joining us. We'll now open the floor for questions on the telephone line or in the room. I'll start with questions from the room first.
Hi, Dr. McAfee. Mike Stobie from the Associated Press.
Mike?
I have a few questions. For Amanda, I wanted to know how her daughter's doing today.
She's doing fine, but it was a rocky first couple of years.
Okay. Dr. McAfee, the New York City Health Department recently initiated a campaign that focused on light smokers, or somewhat focused on them. This campaign talks about, traditional campaigns have often focused on death and lung cancer, heart disease. This is moving into gum disease, preterm birth, some other topics. Is there a shift by federal health officials into different types of topics? I don't know how to term them, but they're not as death-oriented, I guess, as some of the past. Do you mind discussing that?
Well, thanks. That's a great question, Mike. I appreciate it. The campaign is focusing less, as you can see by these ads, far less on death. And this is basically because the way we developed these campaigns was by doing focus work with thousands of smokers. And what they essentially told us was, somewhat to our surprise, was that death was less of a motivator for the individual smoker. I frankly think it's more of a motivator because of its impact on families and those around us, but that that they were more motivated by the fear of disability, discomfort, and being a burden to others around them. And so we've focused much more on that. We've done it both with traditional diseases that most people are aware of, like lung cancer, as you can see in the ad with Rose. But we have also been trying to make it clear, as the 2014 Surgeon General's report made clear, smoking is a activity we engage in that is at our deep, deep peril. That it affects almost every organ system in the body. It affects us from the beginning of life, as Amanda's story so touchingly reveals, all the way to the end of life, as Terry Hall's ad, which was not originally, her campaign was not originally about death, but both her and Nathan and Agual Su, who also died from secondhand smoke exposure this past year, illustrate that death is part of this equation. In terms of your question about New York City's focus on light smokers, we do think it's very important to make sure that ads are resonating with lighter smokers, because one of the findings in the Surgeon General's report was that, unfortunately, people that cut back their smoking to a smaller number unfortunately gain very little benefit from this. So we're quite worried. I think people who are quote-unquote light smokers, casual smokers, people who smoke less than, say, 10 cigarettes a day, have a different kind of problem than, say, Amanda had when she had to deal with smoking one or two packs of cigarettes a day. And one of those is that they're hoping and thinking that the cigarette smoking that they're doing, the way they're doing, is not hurting them. And unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth, especially heart disease. Has a very steep curve. Even a few cigarettes a day makes a huge difference around dangers. The good news for tips, and the reason we originally thought about doing a separate set of ads around lights for light smokers, but what we found in the first year was that light smokers were resonating well with the tips campaign and were making quit attempts, additional quit attempts, at the same rate as heavier smokers. Additional questions? We'll give Mike another. We'll give you another one, Mike.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I had two more, if I may. I was wondering if the funding for the TIPS campaign is declining now that you're in your third year. And I had a question about the MMWR today. There was a statistic given that 1 in 3 gay and lesbian respondents in the survey were smokers versus 1 in 5. Was it for the general population, heterosexual?
Yes.
I was wondering why that might be.
To answer your first question, the good news is that the TIPS campaign funding is not declining. We have maintained this funding. The predominant source of the funding is from the Affordable Care Act Prevention Fund, and this is a tremendous application. We've actually found in our studies of this that we are saving a year of life saved costs less than $200 for the TIPS campaign, which is far less than most things that we do, both in prevention and in clinical medicine. So we're quite excited about that. In terms of your second question, the most important thing is that this is an observation that is true and of great concern, that people of LGBT are much higher rate of smoking than the general population. The part of this we think is due to selective targeting by the tobacco industry in the ad campaigns that they have done that have either blatantly or subtly targeted the LGBT community. So we think this is a very, very important group. One sub-example of this is the astonishing statistics that we are uncovering relating to the risks that smoking poses to people that are HIV positive. And it's basically turning out that now that HIV is becoming much more of a chronic condition, when managed well with medication, that the biggest threat for disability and death is in fact smoking. So that smoking needs to be and is becoming an integral part of the treatment. Smoking cessation is becoming an integral component of HIV treatment, because people with HIV will die 20 years younger if they smoke than if they don't. So this is an enormous opportunity, actually, to extend life. And Mike said he hit. Those were your questions. Well, is there anyone else in the room? And then perhaps otherwise we'll open it up to anyone on the telephone. Do we have people on the telephone? anyone else? Well, actually, Mike, we're going to let you have another.
E-cigarettes have been such a big topic, and maybe that was something you were alluding to in terms of the increased spending by tobacco companies and others who deal in nicotine products. These ads don't talk about e-cigarettes. Did you consider doing some ads on e-cigarettes, or are those...
On the audio portion, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone.
Gee, I thought we were going to make it, too, without an e-cigarette question, but thank you. That's actually a great question. In terms of the campaign, one of the findings of the Surgeon General's report that we emphasized is that combustible tobacco products are responsible for more than 95% of the death and disease that the American people are facing from tobacco. So we've tried to stay laser-focused, particularly on cigarettes, which make up a large bulk of combusted products in our country. So we've tried to stay laser-focused on that, and we think that that's the most important contribution that we can make. And certainly, in terms of any benefits that may accrue to people from using an e-cigarette if they're an adult and they were to switch completely to e-cigarettes, we are not worried about the word getting out about these because tobacco companies and the independent e-cigarette companies are more than making up with this. We are anticipating that close to $100 million will be spent promoting e-cigarettes in 2014, which far exceeds our own budget. We are considering this possibility, but our message would be neither one of promoting or castigating e-cigarettes. I think if the message, regardless of whether it's in a media campaign or not, I think for adult smokers, the thing that we want to be very clear, and we're quite worried is not clear, is that patterns of dual use, where a smoker may substitute an e-cigarette a few times a day while in a social situation, for instance, that they are unable to smoke in, they may think that, well, I'm cutting down a little bit, so this is helpful to my health. If that keeps them from stopping smoking, that is a disaster, because partial substitution is not an effective strategy for improving health as a long-term issue. So that is a message that we do want to get out and that we're trying to figure out how to get out. The other big message for CDC around e-cigarettes is that there is the words good or yes or positive should never be associated with youth using any form of nicotine, because nicotine is addictive. Nicotine is bad for the adolescent developing brain, and until proven otherwise, which I sorely doubt it will be, we need to assume that use of nicotine products leading to addiction, leading to experimentation, exposure to ads, et cetera, put our children at significant risk for use of cigarettes. So is there anybody on the phone that would like to ask one last question, and then we're going to be closing down?
I do have a question from Kim Painter from USA Today.
Go ahead, Kim.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to clarify the cost. What is the amount you're spending on the TIPS campaign this year, and what's the amount that's been spent up to now?
It's a more complicated question you might think, because we use money from different years, but essentially approximately $50 million a year is being spent each year, and that includes both the production costs, the evaluation costs, and the purchase of media. We are also augmenting our support for states around quitline support, since we are almost doubling calls to the quitlines that the states have to support.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. This concludes today's media briefing on the Tips from Former Smokers ad campaign. Thank you, Dr. McAfee and King, and thank you so much to Amanda. For media attending today's briefing in person, we're happy to be available for interviews following this briefing. for those of you not in the room, and we do understand that the volume was low for the webcast. We will be posting the recording of the press conference available tomorrow, and also please call CDC's media line at 404-639-3286 to arrange a follow-up interview if you'd like. You can email us at media@cdc.gov. Thank you.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.